Next step number 664, February 25th, 2021.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. We reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
Well, I go as far back as remembering that you'd use a real potato. No, really. You know, and the Mr. Potato Head set came with all the legs and the hat, the eyes, the ears and everything, and you would put it on a real potato. Now I'm dating myself, aren't I? Well, guess what? You are going to be able to date yourself from this point on. I'm laughing because I can't believe this is... I can't go on. It's so funny. I can't believe that this is what's topping off the news today. And I just had to share it with you because I'm getting a good chuckle and I hope you do too. So apparently Hasbro, the Hasbro company, which is responsible for a toy, which has long since been a fun toy that people would play with, Mr. Potato Head. You know that little toy? I'm sure you've seen it. If you haven't played with it, your kids have played with it, your younger sisters or brothers have played with it, and that's where I saw it for the first time. How many years ago? Well, they are dropping the title Mr. It's just Potato Head. Hasbro, let me read it to you. Hasbro created confusion Thursday when it announced that it would drop the Mr. from the brand's name in order to be more inclusive and so could feel welcome in the Potato Head world. It also said it would sell a new playset this fall without the Mr. and Mrs. designation that will let kids create their own type of potato family, including two moms and two dads. But in the tweet later that afternoon, Hasbro clarified that while the brand is changing, the actual Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head characters will still live on and be sold in stores. In a picture posted on Twitter, the Mr. and the Mrs. names are less prominently displayed at the bottom of the box instead of the top. You want more? This is Potato Head, okay? You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what? If you don't, if you've never heard about Potato Head, go to the show notes right now and at least see the picture of Mr. Potato Head. Maybe you'll understand why I'm laughing so much. This is like a fun toy. It's a fun toy that you'd make, you know, a potato coming out of the ground looks like a head, right? So they would sell eyes and nose and they're plastic little things and you'd put it on a potato and you'd have like a standing little potato. So anyway, you've got to see a picture if you've never seen it. It's worth looking at one of them. I even have a Homer Simpson potato. Yes, I still have the Homer Simpson potato head. The potato head, Homer Simpson potato head. Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Let me just read a little bit more and then I promise we'll put it away. I'm just so fascinated by this that it's so serious. And I'll tell you why in a minute, okay? Hasbro appears to want to have it both ways, expand the brand while not killing off its most iconic characters, which appeared in the Toy Story films. That's right. It was in Toy Story. the tweet came after news of the brand name change exploded on Twitter, with people asking if Barbie will change her name next. I think Hasbro needs to drop the bro and just be Has, another person tweeted. They are looking to broaden the franchise. You take focus of, anyway, contingency. You can read it, definitely, if you're really interested in it. But I'm bringing this up because I just want to share with you, like, in a world with so much going on, if you did not see 60 Minutes last week, the CBS News magazine, I highly recommend you dig it up. It's on the internet. Watch it. Because the power of 60 Minutes is one of those shows that I religiously watch. It's on Sunday nights. And the reason I do is because it changes minds. It has the ability to change people. And I've seen it in the history of 60 Minutes, in the news articles, in the news stories that they present. It presents these complex stories in a language that people could understand. And it exposes, it brings to light, you know, it's true journalism, because it's not just out there. It's a journalism that makes people think and therefore act. And so I've seen several times where within a day, 2 days, people will mop up, they'll clean up some of the messes that are exposed in this magazine. And so last week, if you had a chance to watch it, they talked about Syria. And you can't walk away from that and say, I don't want to do anything about it. And this is fresh in my mind, and I'm already trying to put together programs for In His Shoes that will address what's going on in Syria as part of an In His Shoes activity. And then all of a sudden today, we get this news about Mr. Potato Head. I hope you can understand why I am just busting up, because I can't believe this is what it's come down to. And really, this is really the nonsense that we deal with. I know sometimes people talk about the royals in London, in England, in the United Kingdom. They talk like how absurd it is that people are obsessed with the royals. If you've watched The Crown on Netflix, we started watching it. It was fascinating because there's a history there. There's a history lesson to be learned. And it is also fascinating for me personally because of the parallels there are to the hierarchy and the bureaucracy within the Armenian church, or in church general, yes, that there are eminences as there are majesties and so on and so on. So it's fascinating for me, but to be obsessed with this, and we know that there are people that are obsessed with not only the royals, but with celebrities. It cost one of the royals her life. Just within our own short history, we remember Princess Diana and how it cost her life. People were obsessed. They needed to know the next step. The paparazzi were following her. She got into this fatal accident. She died. Why? Because people wanted to know what she was up to, who she was seeing, who she was meeting with. And we are obsessed with this kind of nonsense in our lives. And you wonder why. That's really the point of bringing up Mr. Potato Head. I did have something else in mind today, but when this news hit, I realized that, you know, we do need to focus in on what's going on in our world, such that this story can dominate the headlines. While there are people that are dying, there are wars, there is escalation of violence going on throughout the world. We're seeing people dying on the streets. We hit 500,000 COVID deaths here in the United States alone. And the United States, we are leading the COVID the deaths by COVID. And so, you know, all of these things that are going on, and then all of a sudden, the news cycle picks up on Mr. Potato Head. Is it an escapism? Is it that life is just so complicated that we do need these little, small little detours, these places where we can just kind of hide and maybe laugh? Yeah, I'm laughing about Potato Head, and there's certainly the executives over at Hasbro who are laughing all the way to the bank. I mean, this is a calculated move. We're laughing because it's so ridiculous taking off a Mr. and a Mrs. But these are calculated moves. And let's not fool ourselves. There's money behind this, right? You don't just drop a brand or change a brand title without doing your research, without knowing that it's going to sell more products. And I guess what I'm bringing up today is, what are we consumed by? Well, obviously, the answer is just by consume. What drives consumption is driven by money. Obviously, the need to make more money, right, drives us to do the certain things that we do. Yet, nevertheless, we are sitting here and we are in a world that demands our attention, and we're consumed by really nonsense. And, you know, this is the week that we spoke about Expulsion Sunday. And Expulsion Sunday, the entire, in our church, you know, and if you don't know, I'm sorry. I shouldn't assume that. I know every week we have new listeners. And so I really want to apologize. I don't mean to say these things so fast. Sometimes I get overwhelmed by what's going on. But certainly, we need to be aware that in the Armenian Orthodox tradition, each Sunday of Lent has a unique name. And this past week was called Expulsion Sunday, the idea that we are expelled from paradise. And they use the Adam and Eve metaphor, but it's more than just the story of Adam and Eve. It's about a rebellion against God, against the beauty of the world around us. That's what it comes down to. That's what expulsion is about. That God gives us everything we need to make this really paradise, and instead we opt for chaos. We opt for the nonsensical. And truly, Potato Head is the perfect example of this. There are so many things that we need to be doing in this world. When you look at the poverty issues, not only in third world, but we're talking in first world poverty with homelessness. And we're seeing the rise of suicide among young people, the progress towards drug addiction toward ending drug addiction came to a standstill. It's now on the rise again. And so what's going on in this world? And we're consumed with Potato Head, that he's not a mister. And I understand the arguments, you know, that people don't want to, you know, there has to be different families, and we are now in the post-traditional family model. So you have the modern family, where you have same-sex couples who define themselves as married couples. You have people who, their gender is at question with themselves, within society. They have opted for a gender that they don't want. And this is accepted now by the society. And so, okay, so you get down to the very the easiest model possible, and you take a potato and you say it's no longer a mister, it's just a Potato Head. And you see what's happened. It's like there's no more, there's nothing left for people to talk about, because the real issues are so complicated that we bring it down to the very basics. And I shared this with you a few weeks ago when we were talking at the beginning of Lent, when I shared with you about the repetition in music, about just even something as a Beethoven's Fifth, and the riffs that we have in music, and how the mind is set to go for a very simple, simple thing. Well, here you go. With all the things that we can talk about, here you go. This is the simplest of simplest, right? Potato Head. No more Mr., no more Mrs., it's just Potato Head. And get with the program. And I'm telling you, it's not because anybody really cares about it. It's because the bottom line is selling more of this product, more of this toy. And we go along in this current because we are, you know, we're consumers. And so we're going along in the current. There is a, you know, the talk shows late at night. If you get a chance to watch them lately, it's kind of interesting, and I'll tell you why. I have shared with you many times about the laugh track that is put on many of the sitcoms that we have. It's basically the producer of that show telling you that this is funny, because you wouldn't laugh otherwise. You wouldn't laugh at that joke, but they put the laugh track on, so you hear and you say, ah, that must be funny, and then you react to it, and then you laugh. And to prove this, watch some of the late night shows now that they don't have an audience. There's nothing funny about them. And case in point, I can't say this about all of them, but I was watching Steve Colbert the other night. What a flop. What a flop. He's talking and there's like nobody to laugh. And he's just talking and talking and talking. And, you know, it's like, I remember a time where he was very, he would sting. You know, he had something to say. But it's now just part of the curtain. It's a Potato Head kind of thing. And when I talk like this, I realize also that I'm opening myself up to people who are going to say, like, okay, then you must be a very conservative person. You're coming in from the far right to be critical. No, I'm not. Like it or not, everybody views the world in a unique manner, okay? So wherever you are. But it's interesting because if you are critical of something like this, it's interesting how you get thrown into the package that you must be on the far right. No, I'm throw me in the package that says this is absurd. Mr. Potato Head is losing his title. He's just a potato. Tell me you're not laughing, okay? I need to take a break right now. And I'll tell you why in just a bit. So we're going to take a break right now and play the song of the day. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Albinoni, Concerto Opus 9, number 6 in G major for two oboes, allegro. And before you start thinking that I am such a music aficionado that I would be able to roll that off on the tip of my tongue, no, it happens to be on a CD called Inner Peace for Busy People, and so appropriate for this time, especially this time of year, but especially in this pandemic world we're living in. I thought it was a nice little segue between the laughter that we had during part one of today's show and the topics that we discussed with the potatoes and the eyes and everything, to segment number two. I thought it'd be a nice little segue. And most importantly, I think more than anything else, we are all busy people. We are so busy that we just do not have time to stop and appreciate some of the beauty that's around us, certainly in the musical world. When you hear a creation such as this one, this concerto, and the two oboes, just something different, something light, something airy, something to take us away to a different place. I'll have a link on today's show notes. The contributing artist on that one was Joan Borsenko. I will have a link on today's show notes so you could check out her work and all of her work, and especially this particular tune. Well, we are coming back to the second portion of today's Next Step, and I'm going to tell you why I needed to cut it short. My left arm is a little bit sore. Yes, I got it. This morning, I got the COVID-19 vaccine number one of two. No, I didn't get the Armenian one. I got the Pfizer version of it. The reason I'm bringing it up is because I want to talk about where we are in the world today. I think it's very important that we realize, just as Jesus Christ split history into BC and AD, or BCE and CE, depending on how you want to say it, between the Christian era and the before Christian era. In other words, that point zero on the calendar, right, that we count forward from, where you are, the year of the Lord, just as Jesus Christ did that, in a very small way, last year, 2020, was defined by COVID-19, to the point that we can now point to life before COVID and life after COVID. If you remember today when I shared with you the story of Mr. Potato Head, I said, yes, there is a time in my life where I remember the potato would be a real potato. And I dated myself and I remembered. And I told you there's going to come a time where you will remember. And today, think about it, with cutting off of Mr. and it's just potato, you can now say, I remember a time when there was a Mr. Potato Head. Because all future generations will look at it and just call it Potato Head. Whee! Okay? Now, Potato Head is such an insignificant part of life. It's so insignificant that it's so small that it really doesn't matter. But COVID does matter. So much so that we talk about life before COVID, and we definitely know what life is during COVID, after COVID, right? After pandemic. Just the idea that we talk about returning to normalcy, the idea that we define normalcy as what? As before COVID, before the pandemic, and now after the pandemic. And this is what we have to deal with in reality in life today. Now, it definitely affects us within the church. Within the church, we remember a time where we used to go to church. Now we view church on a two-dimensional screen, whether it's on your phone, on your computer, on your pad, whatever it is. There is definitely a difference. Okay. But that's just superficial. Let's get to the meat of it. What's underneath all of this is basically we are defining ourselves, our interactions, our communities, our relationships based on COVID. Just the fact that we don't visit anymore. The fact that physically we cannot greet one another. We are distanced from one another. This may seem outwardly like a small thing that we're getting through. And, you know, for me, yes, I understand that. I want to get through it. So I will observe these rules that we've set up. Hey, man, if I could prevent a death by wearing a mask, you know, am I not going to do that? If I'm going to prevent a death by maintaining a 6-foot distance from people, why would I argue with that? At least that's for me, right? And I know there's no prevention. That's the wild card in this whole thing. Yeah, just like a game that you're playing and there's a wild card. Because that wild card can go any way. Like you can follow all the rules you want. And you can still come down with it, right? You follow all the rules, mask up and everything, you still could get it, right? But the wild card could go either way, right? And what's the other side of that wild card? That could prevent. It could prevent you from getting it. And that wild card is an interesting one because it's really, think about this. This is like pretty wild that I'm going to go in this direction. I hope you're with me because it's incremental. If you follow, it'll make sense. It's an incremental path. But if you got the idea of a wild card, that basically there is something out there that we can't figure out. And so somebody follows all the rules and still ends up with COVID. Someone doesn't follow all the rules and doesn't get it, right? That's also a wild card. But I want you to think about this. What is a wild card? It's the one thing that you can't count on. So if you're playing a game and there's a wild card in it, a game of poker, a game of cards, and you have the Joker, and they usually call that the wild card. You can put it down in place of something else. But what? It requires you getting that card. You have to have access to that card. And so it's an interesting idea because here, right now, here in America, we are going through this vaccination period where we're trying to vaccinate as many people as possible. And it is the wild card. It is the one wild card because there is hope, but you have to get it first. You have to first pick it up. And I want you to think about this. Okay, this is incremental, as I said. I'm going to now bring it over to a matter of faith. What is a vaccine? Well, let's look it up, okay? Because I want to get into the technical part about it. It's a substance used to stimulate the production of antibodies and provide immunity against one or several diseases prepared from the causative agent of a disease. Okay, so you take a little bit of the disease. And I don't know the technical things. I know that it's not a live virus. They take it. In fact, getting the COVID vaccine today, they made a point of saying that we're not giving you a live virus. Otherwise, you'd come down with COVID, right? But anyway, somehow they stimulate the immune system. Remember those words, okay, as we're talking. Don't jump it. I told you, we're going to go incrementally. And hey, some of you are way out there and you're figuring it out. You're figuring out where we're going with this. But it is, the vaccine is something that's given that stimulates the production of antibodies. Let's see, if we could say it in a different way, it's a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to the specific disease, protecting that person from that disease, right? Okay, now think about it. We are out there trying to get vaccinated, and the vaccination is the wild card. It is out there. Yeah, there is a possibility that it might not work, but it is a strong card. And if you have that, you can probably go ahead and win. Okay? And we're looking for the vaccination because we've also have some track record, too. I mean, if you're as old as I am, you remember that there was diseases like polio, smallpox, diphtheria. They came up with vaccines, and they're almost eradicated, if not all completely. You don't hear about them. In fact, we were on a trip in 2019. To Armenia, and one of the members in our party, Dr. Simonian, he was responsible for the smallpox vaccine. He was one of the people on that team. And so it was fascinating hearing this man and hearing his stories and everything. And yes, we do remember a time when these diseases were menacing, but you got vaccinated. Now, let's push it. Now, during this Lenten season, what are we doing? We've toned down our lives. We're looking for answers. We're looking for those ultimate answers. The ultimate answers to the ultimate questions in our lives, right? And so by toning ourselves down, by praying, by accenting the prayer life, by accenting our acts of charity, by fasting, we are focusing in on what is important, right? And imagine if you had a vaccine that could, yes, a vaccine that could prevent you from falling, into sin, that could stop you from dying. In other words, just as today vaccines are looked on as our savior, you see? I told you it's incremental. Are you with me right now? Think about our Savior being a vaccine. And it didn't occur to me till I was reading the passage that we read in church. And it's exactly a vaccine. Look, I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue or in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Okay, here's the vaccine. Jesus Christ giving you the beware. Beware of practicing your piety. And he's building that on, he's building your antibodies on what? On what has happened in the past. In other words, do not look at these people. These are the things upon which you are going to be building your antibodies. And so all of a sudden, think of Christ as a vaccine against the worst of the worst. Because his statements are cautionary. Beware of practicing your piety, of not showing off. Beware of praying. Do not use extra words. Just focus in on what is important. Do not judge lest you be judged. He's telling you, he's giving you the blueprint for the vaccination. And you can go through all of life looking for these things and looking for the ultimate answers, and they're right in front of you. Unfortunately, what we do is we go for the easy things. We go for Jesus, I love you, instead of saying, Jesus, I want to hear your message. The message of Jesus is so simple, but we complicate it, don't we? We bring in St. Paul, who talks about reasoning, about circumcision, about the people who want to be Jews, and instead, and you're getting a glimpse of the first century church. You hear about connections between Exodus and the Jewish people and everything, and you're getting a glimpse of pre-first century church, BC, right? Instead of talking about what's going on in our lives right now. Namely, we are all dying a spiritual death. And the formula to overcome it is in a vaccination that is given to us, not during Lent only, but throughout our lives, in the simple, simple messages that are brought to us by our Lord, Savior, vaccination, Jesus Christ. And he's saying it straight out. He's saying, beware. And I know you're getting into you want to get into the beware of, you know, the end of the days are coming and everything. Before you get to the end of the days, focus in on what is important today. We do this. We go to the extremes for some reason. Well, we know the reasons, right? It's just what we talked about earlier today, about the focusing in on what is sensational. On the celebrities that we want to applaud, the crown, we wonder about the mystery. These are all the sensational things that we are consumed with. Jesus said that the world is going to end, so we need to figure out when it's. He said, don't worry about it. He says, look at the lilies of the field. Even Solomon, in all of his splendor, did not dress like one of these beautiful lilies. And you, as a human being, are worth more than that lily. But we complicate it. We get back to, okay, well, in Exodus, the Jews saw 10 different wonders, and they saw the people die, and what was that? What are we talking about? The killing of the innocent, and just these horrible, horrible, horrible stories that we got to caution ourselves against. Because what's going on is what was traditionally called throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Do you know where that expression comes from? In the Middle Ages, where the water was at a premium, you couldn't get clean water. The head of the household would take the first bath. That same water was used for then the second in the household, then the children, one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, until the absolute youngest, the baby would take his or her bath, and they would take the tub and throw out the bath water. And the expression comes up, don't throw the baby out with the bath water. And in other words, don't lose track of what this was all about. It was to clean your family up. Don't lose track of what the Bible is about what Scripture is about what faith is about, why Jesus Christ gave us the church. It wasn't for us to judge the world. God is already in charge of the world. Relax. Stop judging one another. Look at yourself. Look at yourself and say, what am I doing to be worthy to be called the Christian? And I'm seeing this over and over and over again. Today, as I got my vaccine, I was thinking about a friend. We had a conversation. Oh, this is probably about a year ago. This was right when, a little bit after when COVID-19 started putting us into lockdown. And he was talking to me and he said, when the vaccine comes, are you going to get it? I said, well, you know, I really haven't thought about it. This is early on in the game, and they were just talking about these things. And he says, well, you know, the vaccine's going to contain microchips from Bill Gates. And this is a friend who, you know, we've kind of like lost track and everything. So he didn't realize that, you know, I had served in Silicon Valley for 15 years. And even though he knew where I was in San Jose, never made the connection that it was Silicon Valley. That, in other words, microchips. And so I said, so what is this microchip about? I asked him straight on. He says, well, Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft, is putting these microchips so that he can keep track of where everybody is in the world. And I'm going, what? Whoa. Do you realize that 90% of the computers operate in the world? 90% in the entire world operate on the Windows operating system. Yes, Bill Gates's company. I mean, if Bill Gates wanted to get into your mind, into your bloodstream, into what you're doing, I mean, too late. Every computer is programmed from Microsoft. 90%. Forget 90, say 80%, right? Let's give Macintosh and the others a small little portion. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And he's going to go through all the expense of putting a tiny microscopic microchip inside of the fluid that's going into your body, and now they're going to track you and everything. It's too much, isn't it? Right? But that's what we do. We complicate it. We take something simple and we complicate it instead of understanding it for the purity and the simpleness of what's coming across. And so when I share with you these ideas about vaccine, it's not to demean anything. It's not to, It's not to sacrilege. It's not to poke fun at religion. No, I'm a man of faith. I'm a man that believes in God. It's to understand, to speak in a language that we are understanding and living through. I just got through telling you that we can define ourselves now as human beings today, living in the world today, as people who have a knowledge of pre-pandemic and now post-pandemic. We remember what it was like in the so-called normal world. We know what life has gotten us to today. You don't need to build more upon that. And so, using the language that we have today, I propose to you that there is a vaccine that we see and we find in our faith. It's not sacrilege. It's not making fun. It's not poking fun at anything. No, what it's called is relating. And I think that we need to start relating to Christ as the ultimate vaccine, because it's something we understand, especially in a world today. And you know what? In 10 years, when there is no pandemic, if we have overcome this, that metaphor won't even make sense. People will say, what are you talking about? But for us today, it does. Just as a grain of wheat made sense to the people Jesus was talking to when he said a grain of wheat has to fall into the earth and die, he was talking to a people who understood farming, agriculture, and it made sense in that particular moment. Just as when he said, I am the light of the world, that light to people who are living in darkness, persecution, and having absolutely no hope, brings about a completely different meaning than it would to us who are living in 24/7 electricity, right? And in the same manner today, in a world plagued by pandemic, vaccine is a bit of hope. It is salvation. And so we make that metaphor. We use that metaphor. And so for this week of Lent, I throw that out as something to ponder, something to think about, something to take with you on this Lenten journey. I'll take my journey right now to sip another cup of tea as Susie makes her announcement.
Susie here again, popping in to say thank you to you, our listeners. We are thankful for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. We are grateful to be able to touch so many lives and create lasting friendships. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world and look forward to your continued support. Thank you and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And thank you, all of our listeners, for your thoughts, your kind words that you send our way, and most importantly, for your prayers. They go a long way in keeping this ministry moving forward. I want to just thank you very much for allowing us into your homes, into your cars, into your headspace between those headphones. Wherever you listen to us, I really appreciate you bringing the next step into your lives. Listen, we are in the middle of Lent right now, and there's a couple things that I want to bring your attention to. One is that we are doing the Lenten series again, the Lenten Journey series we've done for several years, very successfully with a big following. It's easy to subscribe to. It's another freebie that you could subscribe to by going to the link that's in our show notes today. Just look for the Lenten Journey link, get on there and subscribe. If you already are a subscriber, you know that we're already in the 11th or 12th day and you're getting daily Lenten Journey small little tidbits. And this year, what I thought we'd do is we'd look at Jesus' sayings that are said, that are given to us by our Lord, but not necessarily looking at the object of those sayings. In other words, well, let's take the one we just used a few minutes ago. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," rather than looking at the idea of light, which is something that we would do normally, but the context in which Jesus had said that, and understanding a different perspective on that particular saying. We've spoken many times about perspective, and I was very happy that a few days ago I did a Bible study with the Circle of Faith group that we have here in the Los Angeles area. And I was just very thrilled that they had done the Gospel of Luke separately. And in the sense that, you know, when you look at some of these books in the Bible, you've got to remember that they came about out of a certain tradition. They came about because of certain conditions that were conducive to its writing. And certainly when you look at Luke, you understand that, you know, he drew from Matthew, but he had some very, very unique stories that you only find in the Gospel of Luke. And then, of course, they follow through in the book of Acts and so on. So it was just really nice to talk about perspective. That, yes, each of the evangelists had a unique perspective on Jesus. You know, a few months ago, I shared with you that reflection on the Christmas tree, that I'm standing on one side of a Christmas tree, my wife's on the other side. We each see the same Christmas tree, but we're seeing different parts of it, different ornaments. And it doesn't make my reality not real, and doesn't make her reality not real, but together, by putting them all together, we get a little bit more complete picture of what that Christmas tree can look like. And in the same way, when we look at the life of Jesus, we bring together the multiple traditions, not only scriptural, but of course, the writings of our church fathers and the traditions of our Holy Church, which are apostolic. They go back to the time of the apostles. So the Lenten journey, yes, it continues this Lent. Do check it out. And then the big one, of course, is next weekend, March 6th. We have the Reclaim Conference, now in its fifth year of, should I say evolution? Yeah. Conception? No, we're at evolution right now. We are evolving. This year, the topic is reclaiming faith in the post-pandemic world. And if you thought that my talk about Potato Head was wild, wait till you hear what we're going to be doing. No, actually, this one was just too wild, right? It was way too wild. I still chuckle when I think about it. But we have speakers. I'm going to be speaking. Archbishop Hovnon is going to be setting a pace for where we're moving. And also we have Dr. Hiroshi Chilingirian from London, England, Oxford professor. He's going to be talking about the Armenian Church's understanding of death. Yeah, in death, especially when you look at the numbers of deaths that have been caused because of this pandemic. And that's not just those people that have gotten the COVID virus, but all of the additional effects to it, too. Case in point was my aunt just a couple months ago. She went into the hospital for nothing related to COVID, but the number of people in the hospital was just so outrageous that there weren't beds available, and it complicated a lot of things. And so this is just one story among many hundreds of thousands of stories throughout the world, including the situation that took place in Armenia. So you want to check out this particular conference. It takes place March 6th. It's called Reclaim, and it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning and goes through till 5 in the afternoon Pacific time. So you have to do the calculation. Pacific time is universal coordinated universal time plus 8. Okay, so you do the calculation wherever you are in the world. And I would highly recommend if it is the middle of the night for you in the world, you know, train yourself a few days earlier to be up during the middle of the night, because this conference you're going to want to be part of. Okay, and here's the icing on the cake. It's a freebie. All you need to do is go to the link on our show notes today and click on it and register. That's it. It's a gift from me to you. Please, I would love to see you there. That's Reclaiming Faith in a Post-Pandemic World. March 6th. It's an all-day event. Please plan to be with us. Well, that does it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed putting it together. Do get in touch with us at all the usual outlets, the socials, and of course, you can drop me a line at feedback@epostle.net. That's Apostle with an E, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. On behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out.